this one basic fact. I would love to believe that every soul in this building, if you were returned to the Lord tonight, I don't care what you have done. If you were to come to the Lord tonight, I would love to believe that everyone sitting in this building would hug your neck and show you the kind of love. I can't guarantee it. I don't know everybody. I don't know the hearts of everyone sitting here. But can I encourage you to appreciate this one fact? God will. God will. I wish that everyone else would too. I wish the Lord's people would quit creating certain types of stigmas related to certain kinds of sins to the point that those folks feel like there is no way for them to be restored to their God because they're afraid of the men and the people. There are no second-class citizens. I don't care what you did. I don't care what it is. If you're willing to be penitent, if you're willing to repent, if you're willing to make changes, if you're willing to turn away from sin and embrace your God, God says, I've got open arms. Come on back. You come home. I'll restore you. I'll restore you completely and fully. I will give you comfort the likes of which you have not experienced in maybe quite a while. If you recall, this young man had been out there. He went from feeding swine to the arms of his father. He went from an empty belly that would have eaten the husks that he was feeding to the swine if anyone had offered them. He went from that state or condition back into the home and comforts of his father. And not as a hired servant, but he comes back into the arms of a father who kills the fatted calf and provides for him in ways that maybe men would not. There is full restoration waiting for you from God. There is full comfort waiting from whom Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 3, the God of all comfort. When I would lived in other places, and you could talk to my wife and she would tell you about this. And we live in Payton City, which is where I grew up now. And so it's different for me now. But back when we lived in other places, and I would return back to Payton City, especially when we would travel, even when we just lived 45 minutes to the north of it. But as you would travel from the north to the south, there's a little grade, just a little hill that you come up over and you kind of enter the metropolis that is Payton City. We're a 9th Avenue town, 1.25 mile long. One traffic light. But as you would crest that hill, she said there were times where she could visibly see a different Brian. I had come home. I was where I felt the most comfortable. I was at the place where I felt the strongest. I was at a place where I felt, God says, come home. Come home to that place where you feel more comfortable than any other place. It is discomforting out there feeding swine in the world of sin. It is hard to live the life of a sinner. It is difficult and challenging to continue in paths that you know are destroying your life. Come home. Come home. The comforts are waiting for you. Come home to the Father. Can I share something with you out of three texts? In Mark chapter 14, there is an interesting word that is shared with us in relationship to God the Father. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 36, where he says, Jesus says, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. As he prays in the garden, he addresses his father in a very interesting way. He uses the word Abba, Father. May I share with you tonight that the Abba is the idea of the first words that are formed upon the lips of a child. Abba is that word that talks about a father in those early days where a child is completely trusting, where a child feels completely secure and safe. Have you ever watched somebody grab their child and fling them And they fling them up in the air, and they stand there and watch them, and then they catch them, and they throw them up in the air, and they catch them. And the child is just giggling and laughing, and it's the greatest thing. They have no concept of the danger that if this guy on the other end is not very good at catching flying children, that I could be in trouble. They have no concern of that. Why? Because all they know of that guy on the other end is Abba, Father. Complete and total trust. When Jesus prays in the garden in Mark 14 and verse 36, he prays, Abba, Father. A child seeking the strength and comforts of a God with total dependence upon that God. But I want to share something with you. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 15, Paul writes to those in Rome and says, For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Do you realize the privilege that has just been extended unto us in that text? The same words that Jesus formed while he's praying in the garden and he is absorbing the misery of the thought of the cup of destruction that lies ahead from him. As he ponders and considers the calamity that will be the cross and the mockery and shame that will precede it, he cries out to his Father from the garden, Abba, Father, if your will allow it, you